Hey, lurid listeners, welcome back to the Kiss Me Quick's Erotica Podcast. This is your favorite sexy librarian, Rose Caraway. I hope you guys are doing well, and you gals, of course. Big Daddy and I are doing pretty spectacularly. I think that's grammatically how I should say that. Summer is here. It's totally road trip season, you guys. And to celebrate that, I got a sexy hot summer deal going on right now. My Dirty 30 Volume 1 ebook is on sale right now for $1.99. And if you click the Add Audible Narration to Your Purchase button, you can get the audiobook for $1.99 too. So that deal is going to end soon, but get your road trips planned and get a sexy audiobook and ebook. You know, some of us like the audio, some of us like to read. So I got both of them, $1.99 for you guys right now. The deal will end soon, so I will be sure to include that Amazon link for you in the show notes so that you guys can click to buy right after the show. Let's see, I've kind of been doing something new with my writing. I've been participating in this hashtag 500 words. It's a sort of daily writing challenge. The way you do it is before you get on to any social media, you're supposed to get to the writing, get to your words. Whether you're keeping a dream journal, a regular journal, or you're writing some fiction or poetry, whatever you're writing, get it down, at least 500 words. I go a little above. Sometimes I cut it right off at that 500 word mark. But the point is to get to the words before you get on to social media, where it has been like uproar and stormy and controversy and political, just blah. So before you get to that, before you go all aggro on social media, get your words down. It has uplifted me tremendously, and I highly recommend it. It was brought up to me by Remittance Girl. You guys should know her by now. I've interviewed her several times over at the Sexy Librarian blogcast. It's just, I love the cool aspect of this in getting the habit back of daily writing. You know, I do all this other stuff on the side for the show, and my writing has sort of suffered for it. So I love it. And if you want to participate, you can too. You can choose to keep your writing private, like I do, because I alternate between fiction writing and journal writing. Or you can share your words. You can share the link that it's attached to, or share a little glimpse, a screenshot, if you will. The way I do it is I share a picture on Instagram of my word count every day. Just sort of keep me on track and hold myself accountable. And it's fun because I give a little synopsis of, oh, I got to do this. I wrote about this and it was fabulous. So I highly recommend it if you want to get, you know, develop those writing chops in just little short bursts at first. You know, it's not like this heavy obligation that you have to do. Just before you get onto social media, at whatever point in the day you do it, do it. It feels really, really good. All right, in other news, I just want to quickly remind all of you super sexy creative writing types out there who are listening that the deadline for my latest call for submissions is this month, in just a few days, May 30th. The anthology is Tonight She's Yours, Cuckold Fantasies, Volume 2. If you would like to submit your short story for this call, head over to either one of my websites, stupidfishproductions.com, or thekissmequicks.com. Click on the Calls for Submission tab in that top menu. Once you're there, please be sure to read all the way through my guidelines. There's information that I will need from you in addition to your story. If you have any questions along the way, my contact email is posted there too. You know what? I'm totally ready to celebrate another audiobook release. What do you guys and gals say to some anal erotica? Yes, you're in? Sweet! Baby Got Back, Anal Erotica, was edited by my dear friend and fellow anthology editor, Rachel Kramer Bussell. And it's available right now in Audible and iTunes. This was my very first audiobook featuring nothing but sexy rump romps. And just for you lurid listeners, I've handpicked a few stories from that audiobook that I think you'll enjoy. So for today's episode, let's join Antoine and his wife, Hannah, at a company work party aboard the SS Petaluma Star. In Thomas S. Roche's story, Hard Astern. The Sexy Librarian presents the Kiss Me Quicks Erotica Podcast. Have a happier life. We encourage you lovely lurid listeners to be playful. Enjoy yourselves, your partners, and your sexuality. You are entitled to your sexual self. This show is for adults only and is a hands-free listening experience. Well, at least one hand. But before our story begins, let me tell you about our latest audiobooks. The Sexy Librarian's Dirty 30, Volume 1. The Sexy Librarian is at it again. This time, it's after hours. Forget the card catalog just for tonight. Come to the back of the library. Peruse the Sexy Librarian's private stacks. Smart and edgy, with just the right amount of moxie, these stories illustrate the limitless imagination of some of the best erotica authors today. There's cuckolding, noir-gasms, an alien, a succubus, dreamy flying Dutchman, tension-relieving bondage, voyeurism, swapping, crushing, public punishment, strippers, geeks, selkies, kissing cousins, copper miners, and that's just a taste of this wonderful mélange of erotic fiction. Allow the Sexy Librarian to introduce you to some of her favorite and most trusted erotica authors, who understand that sometimes you like it hot, intelligent, and occasionally very, very dirty. Baby Got Back, Anal Erotica. Baby Got Back is a stimulating set of stories of anal fun. Rachel Kramer Bussell has edited some of the best-selling erotica books in the business, and this is her first book devoted to all manner of backdoor pleasures. These daring and, dare we say, cheeky sex stories have a lot of variety, plenty of excitement, and offer much erotic inspiration. Get these sexy audiobooks now in iTunes, Amazon, and Audible. And now, Hard Astern by Thomas S. Roche, as featured in Baby Got Back, Anal Erotica. There isn't much at all to that dress that Hannah's wearing, and Antoine's already gotten her panties off. So when he gets down on his knees behind her, it's easy as hell for him to get his tongue up her ass. But he doesn't jump right to that, of course. He's a gentleman. He goes nice and slow, so she's begging for it by the time he enters her ass. He's such a gentleman, in fact, that he even brings his wife an extra pair of underwear. What Antoine does lead with is this. He spirits her away from the increasingly raucous party in the main lounge of the SS Petaluma Star, where his engineer co-workers have been getting increasingly drunk on company-funded vodka, and, true to form, are exchanging boasts alternately about their elegant code and their greatest achievements in World of Warcraft. Although it's admittedly a sausage fest, fewer wives and girlfriends than you might think have fled the lounge, because drunk engineers can actually be pretty amusing. That means, hopes Antoine, that they'll be able to get some privacy. The capacity of the SS Petaluma Star, after all, is more than 130 passengers, and GeoSprite's software development has brought along no more than 60. The boat is pretty empty, all things considered. It's this private little area, and he scoped it out when he did the site visit. Stern, lower deck, This cute spot near the rope locker where no one but the crew is supposed to go. But there isn't much crew on a nighttime cruise like this, and their only company is a day-glow orange sign emblazoned, "Life Jackets Inside." "Cold?" asks Antoine, embracing her from behind and wrapping his big arms around her. As mentioned, there isn't much to the dress, but you'd have to have ice water pumped into your veins to get cold on the Petaluma River on a hot August night, even at 10 o'clock, which it will be in another few minutes. Given what she's wearing, practically nothing, compared to what Antoine is wearing, a stylish wool suit, she ought to be asking him if he's hot. But on that matter, she's already weighed in by letting him get her alone like this, and he's weighed in by taking her here. So Hannah doesn't answer. She just gathers his hands in hers and presses them tight to her tits so he can feel the firm little beads of her nipples pressing through the too tight dress. She purrs, "What do you think?" and tips her head back and parts her lips and lets her husband kiss her. The rapturous little squirm her body gives as his tongue slips into her coaxes Antoine to slide his hands down the top of her dress and feel her firm little tits. Her nipples get harder by the moment, especially when Antoine starts pinching them. When their lips come apart, he says, "I think this isn't from the cold." And Hannah goes, "Ding, ding, ding, ding," like a game show buzzer, sarcastic to a fault, even when she knows she's going to get fucked. He pinches her nipples harder, drawing a gasp and a moan from her lips. With a dress this tight and skimpy and low-cut and practically see-through, it was daring of Hannah to go without a bra. Why didn't she wear one? It's a fair question, but Antoine already knows the answer. There is, of course, the pencil rule, where you don't have to wear one if your tits aren't big enough to trap a pencil underneath. Hannah is quite fond of citing that one as some sort of inviolable rule, but she only cites it when she wants to show her tits off. Hannah gets horny. She likes being looked at. She really likes being looked at when she has a chance to dress to the nines. She loves to dress up and show it off. If he wasn't such an inveterate exhibitionist, too, then Antoine might be bothered by the fact that his wife likes strangers staring at her tits. She also likes fucking in public, which is why he knows he can put his hands down her dress and only get a soft, moaning sigh in return. He slides them back out of her dress, leaving the top pulled down and her small tits hanging out in the balmy night air. He brings his big hands down her belly, takes hold of her hips, and grinds her back onto him, forcefully. From the open window of the lounge, they hear the drunken bellowing of his co-workers. He pulls her hard against him, rhythmically, putting his full hot lips on her, trailing his tongue against the sensitive spot where her shoulders meet the back of her neck. Hannah stays passive, gripping the railing as if she's been secured there. She loves the feel of her husband controlling her, holding her, taking the lead, telling her what to do. He doesn't say anything. He just commands her with his insistent weight against her, with his big, powerful hands, and with the cock that's swelling through his suit pants against her ass. One of those hands travels down her front again, farther this time. From her hip, it finds her thighs. She's got them parted slightly, and the dress is really short. It's already pushed up a bit from the way Antoine has been grinding her back against him. It doesn't take long for him to get his hand up that dress and down into her panties. Hannah gasps and moans and bites her lip as Antoine starts fingering her slit. She protests a little. "Fuck," she says, still rubbing her ass against him as he finger fucks her. "Antoine, what if somebody comes down here?"
"Shh,"
he answers, and silences her with his tongue. He kisses her deep and pulls her tight against him, feeling her cunt get wetter with every stroke, feeling her clit swelling and responding more intensely to his touch as he kisses her deeper and works his fingers back and forth in her sex more insistently, penetrating sometimes and then focusing on her clit. Whether Hannah's little protest came just because she likes playing hard to get, or whether she's really concerned, Antoine doesn't know. But he knows his wife, and she doesn't wear this dress to hear about World of Warcraft. So he says, in a growl, "You remember that thing we talked about?"
"What thing?"
she moans softly. She's so dope-brained from pleasure, she doesn't know what he's talking about, even after he's brought his right hand back from her pussy to her ass and worked it up her dress from behind. With his thumb, he plucks the back of her panties to the side. It's easy. There isn't much to them, so it's not much of an accomplishment. Then his pussy-wet finger finds her asshole, and Hannah's eyes widen. She lets out an "oh" that he silences, gently this time. His kiss is insistent but coaxing as he penetrates her with the tip of his slick finger. By the time their lips part again, he's got his finger working fervently on her hole, and she's squirming against him. "Oh," she pants. "That thing."
"We're doing it,"
he says firmly.
"Now."
"Right now?" she whines. "Right here?" She leans heavily forward against the railing and sticks her ass out, working her hips so she can rub her ass up and down in his grasp, inviting him in. "Right here in public?" She moans with a whimper. "No, Antoine, we couldn't possibly." His finger leaves her asshole. He pulls her panties down, sliding them over her thighs and then down to her spread knees. Her legs are just far enough apart that the panties arrest their natural descent. Antoine has to drop down and actively pull them, reluctantly. As if she hates closing her legs, Hannah puts them together so that Antoine can pull her panties over her calves, her ankles, her shoes. "We couldn't possibly," Hannah moans again as her husband takes off her panties. One stiletto heel snags on the frothy lace of her panties, and he has to disentangle it. Antoine comes back up from his crouch, leaning heavily against Hannah, with his pussy-wet finger back up against her butthole. He's got her panties in his left hand, out in front of her face. With a quick, sharp snap of his wrist, he throws them away, into the water. Hannah watches her underwear spiraling out into the Petaluma River. There isn't even a splash when they hit. They're so filmy and skimpy, they just disappear. "Those were expensive panties," she whines softly. "You dirty pervert." Then Antoine's left arm is back around her, his hand down the top of her dress again and caressing her right tit while he grinds his cock against her side and reaches into his suit jacket pocket. He's got one of those little pillows of lube. He rips it open with his teeth, slicks up his right hand again, and pushes his finger into her butthole. Her skirt has come down again, but his hand fits easily under it, and Hannah wriggles against the strokes of his finger as her hole opens up to him. Hannah reaches down to press her palm against Antoine's cock. It stiffens more under her grasp. The slacks are soft and silky, worsted wool, and the contour of his cock feels different than it does through the denim she usually touches before she gets his pants open when they fool around. The new sensation gives Hannah a thrill, reminding her that they're doing it in semi-formal wear, here on a boat in the river, with his bellowing drunken co-workers not far away. His cock stiffens fully in her hand, and Hannah very badly wants to turn around and suck it. But she doesn't, because the moment she feels that overwhelming urge is the very moment that Antoine drops to his knees behind her and pulls her dress up to her waist. Hannah's eyes go wide, and she grips the railing as Antoine parts her ass cheeks. His tongue goes wetly and smoothly up into her crack. He never seems to mind the taste of lube, at least where her ass is concerned. She squirms against the stroke of his tongue as it wriggles in her butthole. His left hand's gone back around her. While he licks her ass, he strokes her clit. She moans in a sense of shock and filthy pleasure. As he licks even deeper, his right hand wanders to her thighs and pulls her to his right, letting Antoine coax her legs open again until she's propped at a highly unlikely and possibly dangerous angle, with her tits against the railing, pert ass up very high, trim legs spread. She always hoped all those years of yoga would pay off one of these days, and with a husband like Antoine, she's finding out just how frequent that payoff can be. His tongue is deep up her ass now, the fingers of his right hand holding her ass cheeks open as he licks in a combination of soft, deep strokes and swirling circles. Ripples of pleasure pulse through her body. Antoine still got the lube packet somewhere. He squeezes out more, and his tongue is replaced by two fingers pressing into Hannah's asshole, gently at first, and then far more insistent when her asshole resists. Hannah whimpers and tries to relax. It should be easy, with a couple of vodkas in her and pleasure radiating through her body. Even the awkward pose, vulnerable, exposed, and shameless, can't keep her from wanting Antoine in her. But her powerful arousal makes her muscles slightly firmer and makes her want it all the more. So when Antoine insistently works two fingers up into her, she takes it happily. She even wiggles her butt back and forth as if to signal her husband that he's doing exactly the right thing. He pushes them deep and kisses her ass, reverent kisses, as he starts to gently finger fuck her, left thumb working on her clit as he does. "Fuck," moans Hannah softly. When Antoine pushes two fingers of his left hand into her very tight pussy, never letting up on her clit. "Fuck, fuck, ugh, fuck, 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 fuck." Hannah chokes and gasps as she grips the railing and snuggles her ass back onto her husband's hands, shaking back and forth. "Oh, motherfucking fuck!" Her voice is getting loud, almost as loud as the guffaws from the lounge far above. Can anyone hear her? Hannah doesn't care. She just keeps cursing in pleasure and moaning as her husband's hands gently but firmly open up both her holes. Hannah's dress is mostly off of her now, both pulled up and pushed down. It's bunched around her waist with the straps stretched tightly out to her arms. Since the only other clothing she wore to the party was her underwear, Hannah's all but naked, the breeze caressing her skin as the SS Petaluma Star cruises at 10 knots through the hot Sonoma air. Then Antoine's rising behind her. Hannah feels the soft, supple stroke of her husband's worsted wool suit brushing up against her exposed back, her legs, her butt. At some point, while Antoine was down there, he got his pants open. His cock is out. She feels it naked against her butt. She reaches back to caress it. He's got another pillow lube from his suit pocket. He brings it to his mouth. It cracks audibly as it breaks. A hot breeze comes up unexpectedly as he pours. He spills thin strings of lube on her $200 dress and his $1,000 suit. Neither one cares. He gets his cock slicked up, and Hannah helps him spread it around. He adds more lube to his fingers and returns them to her asshole, while Hannah guides his cockhead down between her cheeks. His head presses in with only a slight amount of pressure. She's tight, as always, but she's also very horny for it. His fingers and tongue did the job impeccably. Hannah's asshole has never felt more ready for him. She gasps as she pushes herself onto him. Her asshole accepts his cock in one firm thrust, and Antoine grabs her hair to tip her head back and kiss her hard as she snuggles herself more firmly down onto his cock. His tongue is deep in her mouth by the time his cock reaches its deepest point inside her. He puts his hands over hers on the railing and holds her against him as his hips start to work. Hannah meets every stroke of her husband's hips with a backward thrust of her body, forcing his cock up deep in her asshole. She's already started moaning like she's going to come. It doesn't surprise her or him, since he did so much to get her most of the way there before he put his cock inside her. While his hips piston rhythmically, delivering deep thrusts up into her asshole, his left hand, slippery with lube, moves down from the railing and works on her clit. It isn't long before Hannah cries out, moaning loudly as her asshole spasms and tightens around him. Antoine makes a pleasant sound in his wife's ear, purring, "Good girl." Good girl for coming for him. Good girl for letting him fuck her like this. Good girl for letting him do this in public where anyone might see. Hannah comes hard. She keeps on coming almost the whole time Antoine pumps into her asshole. He can feel the spasms as he fucks her rapidly. He's already close himself. Hannah lets out the final sigh and enters the heavy slump against the railing that tells her husband she's completed her orgasm. An instant later, Antoine's thrusts take on an urgent quality. Hannah knows what's coming. She positions her ass just so, looking over her shoulder and begging him, "Yeah," and "Please." Over and over again, as they lock eyes in the deep gray dark of the late night gloom. He fucks his wife's asshole faster and faster, and then his eyes roll back and he lets out a thunderous groan. She feels her asshole flooding with him as his last few thrusts slide into her. Moaning softly, she wiggles for him, milking the last drops of cum out of his cock. Antoine kisses Hannah deep and hard. He pulls out, gets a handkerchief from his suit coat pocket, gingerly wipes the lube from her ass crack. He tosses the handkerchief into the river to join his wife's discarded panties. Antoine zips up, buckles. He pulls her dress up, never taking his tongue out of her mouth as he does. Feeling the slick patches where lube has soiled her dress, he seats the skimpy garment carefully on her tits, her shoulders, her hips. He pulls it down over her ass, turns her around, and brushes out wrinkles as he presses her against the bulkhead. His hand comes out of his magic suit coat pocket again, holding a fresh pair of underwear, lacy and black, but this time with a full butt. Hannah smiles softly, her husband always planning ahead. She accepts the panties. With Antoine's arm supporting her, she steps into them and pulls them up her body. Hannah lets Antoine lead her up the stairs to the main deck. She walks only a little more gingerly than before. They head toward the happy, cacophonous noise from the lounge. Hope you enjoyed the show. That was Hard Astern by Thomas S. Roche, as featured in Baby Got Back, Anal Erotica, edited by Rachel Kramer Bussell, published by Cleus Press. To contact Thomas, go to thomasroche.com. If you would like to get in touch with me, Rose Caraway, I can be found at thekissmequicks.com. Interested in getting published in an anthology? Check out my current calls for submissions at stupidfishproductions.com. Hey, by the way, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow the KMQ show at the KMQ. And follow me, Rose Caraway, at Rose Caraway. For more fun, sexy stories, go to Amazon, iTunes, or Audible and search Rose Caraway. Sign up for Audible's 30-day trial, and you can get one of my audiobooks for free. Your subscription will include one free audiobook every month, as well as give you discounted prices on all my audiobooks. You can cancel at any time. The Kiss Me Quick's Erotica podcast is a Stupid Fish production and is brought to you by Baby Got Back, Anal Erotica. Audio production by Big Daddy Dave Caraway.
The KMQ would like to thank the following musical artists: David Mumford and Portrayal. The KMQ introduction music by Vivitch.
Stupid Fish. 13. The Binding of the Babe in the Back Seat by Simon Drax. My bladder was ready to burst. I'd been in line behind five other yellow cabs outside Grand Central for way too long. Being of hardy Germanic stock, I'd held off the urge to drain the snake as long as I could. I finally admitted defeat and was just about to pull out of line to find a place to take a desperate piss when my rear passenger door flew open. A bear of a man plowed inside and yanked a struggling young woman into the back seat beside him, her hands tied behind her back. Jesus. "Hey, guys," I started. "Take it somewhere else." Speck! The plexiglass barrier separating driver and passenger exploded, shards flying, and now there was a cratered hole in my windshield the size of a baseball. Hot metal pressed hard against the back of my skull, sizzle of hair and skin. "Shut the fuck up, motherfucker!" The big guy reached across his prisoner, and the rear passenger door swung shut with a thump. "We're going to Jersey!" The gun withdrew. I was so ready to piss myself. Yet I turned and looked into the back seat through the sharp, jagged peaks of the broken plexi. The guy was fleshy, tremendous, a white guy with one of those crazy beards that explodes forever. The gun seemed a cannon, a wisp of gray rising from its glossy, dark hole. My eyes snapped to the woman. Her red hair was a tangle, her brow beaded with sweat, full lips pursed as she determinedly fought to free herself from the ropes that bound her wrists. She wore a low-cut half-shirt and cut-off denim shorts, no shoes. Breathing hard, a wet stream between her breasts, her nipples erect, her mouth opening and closing as she struggled, biting hard on her lower lip. Her eyes caught mine and flashed a single message. "Help me." "Jersey, asshole!" the guy roared. "Hit the fucking Holland!" His eyes were crooked and he had terrible acne. His arms were too hairy and he wore an ancient DOA shirt stretched over a huge belly. And he pointed the gun through the razor-sharp blades of the broken plexi. He aimed the gun right at my face. The tiny hole of the nozzle suddenly a wicked big black cave. And, yeah, the muscles kick in. "Yeah, okay, yeah." And without even looking, I ripped my cab into gear and pulled it full throttle into the stream of 42nd Street. Horns of fury erupted around and behind me. It was a beautiful day in New York as I whipped across Fifth Avenue, blue sky and white clouds sliding over skyscrapers.
A day I realized I was probably going to fucking die. And not just me, Christ, the babe in the back seat was probably going to die too.
You bitch, you bitch, you bitch!
The guy sputtered and spat and drooled as he reached into his beat-up black leather Nexus bag and pulled out long lengths of white rope. The red-haired woman winced, spat at him, struggled against him. I careened through traffic, weaving in and out, running red lights and cutting poor fuckers off and praying for a cop. And of course, there were none. But as fast and crazy as I drove, I couldn't keep my eyes off the little widescreen window of the goddamn rearview mirror. I could see everything. The guy had yanked the red-haired woman into a kneeling position on the back seat, forced her to face the passenger side rear window. With big, meaty paws, the man looped the rope around her elbows behind her back, cinched them, yanked it. She cried out sharply as her elbows smashed together behind her like broken wings. And then he wound more punishing coils of rope around her upper arms and very nearly bare breasts. Shit, I could see it all happening in the mirror. My eyes snapped forward. The West Side Highway was a fucking catastrophe. I broke both of my side views as I blazed through a narrow corridor between the first and second lanes. And the bastard was still hurting her, the ropes biting deep into her bare, sunburned skin. She turned her head quickly and caught my eyes in the rear view. "Aaron," the big guy growled, "you shouldn't have stolen my blow." "Fuck you, Kyle," the red-haired Aaron growled back, twisting against the ropes. "You fucking moron, I was saving your blow while you let that pretty boy suck your dick in the bathroom." "Fuck you, bitch, that never happened." He grabbed a fistful of her glorious red hair, gave her nipples a quick and savage yank, then smashed her down, face first, into the faux leather seat. She looked up at me, her lips parted, her eyes. God, her eyes. For a long, hot heartbeat, our eyes locked. "Stop looking at us," the big guy howled and aimed his death cannon back at me. "Fuck you, man," I mumbled, angling my cab in line for the Holland. "You're gonna have to pay the tolls."
"As if."
He pressed the gun hard against the back of my skull. "Take the easy pass, scum sucker. The second we hit Jersey, I'm cutting off this bitch's tits. I'm gonna cut her into little pieces." He paused, sucked the saliva from his lips. "And then I'm going to cut your fucking throat. What do you think about that?" He swung her around to tie her ankles, coil after coil of punishing rope. I tried to watch the road, but my eyes kept going back. Her bare feet were beautiful, soft and tawny and vulnerable. God, I wanted to caress those heels, those ankles. Her bound wrists twisted under the loops of white cords, her hands and fingers clenching, unclenching. The guy yanked her body so she was sitting up, still on the passenger side of the car. She grimaced in clear agony, arching her bare, sweat-gleaming throat back, back. She looked directly at me. "Oh, man, please. What do you think about that?" The terror in the back seat demanded again. "I don't think nothing," I told him, as we entered the tunnel, my bladder ready to explode, but my dick was rock solid. God, I'd never been more turned on. It was crazy, but I couldn't help it. She was beautiful, the ropes biting into her flesh, her arms forced behind her, struggling, fighting, and I wanted her. In some fucked up way, I sensed she wanted me too. She must have been in so much pain with her arms pulled so tight behind her, but her nipples were hard against the cotton of her skimpy top. Her teeth grazed her bottom lip as her eyes connected with mine. Zooming through the gray and fume-choked concrete shaft of the Holland at light speed, thin white fluorescence whipping past, the thought came again that I was going to die. Man, and she was going to die. But I wanted this girl who was tied up in my back seat more than I'd wanted anyone ever. Sex and death, I thought, stupidly. Never more alive than when you're flying into the face of mortality. This really your name, you faggot? He must have glanced at my ID sticker on his side of the partition. Is this your name, Irwin? I kept my eyes forward. The tunnel had become a dark and cyclopean blur. That's me, I answered. Irwin? What kind of faggot name is that? Just a name. Aaron, meet Irwin. The big guy thought this was infinitely amusing. What the fuck was he on, anyway? Crack from Saturn? Irwin, he drawled. What a dumb fucking faggot name. Shit, you deserve to die. Doing you a favor. And despite, or perhaps because, of the terror and adrenaline of this unwanted nightmare, I felt a stab of white-hot anger. The muscles kick in. You ever heard of Rommel, asshole? What? Ronald who? God, you're stupid, I hissed. Rommel, as in Irwin Rommel, the desert fox. I checked my speed, same as every other car, 60, 65. When it wasn't rush hour, everybody flew, but now I started to crank it. I started doing a dangerous thing, crossing back and forth over the double line, 70 miles per hour. Irwin Rommel, field marshal of German forces during World War II, an absolute madman with a tank, kicked British ass in Africa, laid fucking waste to the French, you ignorant fucking asshole. 80 miles per hour. Hey, shithead, slow the fuck down. Erin's eyes were huge. She breathed heavily, but different than before. Slower, deeper, her sharp green eyes focused on mine. With her chin tilted down, the corners of her mouth started to pull into a smile. Her eyes spoke volumes. I want you inside of me, they said, but more than just want, need. I imagined her voice purring as she begged me to tighten the ropes. It was the pleasure and pain of it all. She liked how tight the bindings were, how hard she was pressed against the seat with her bound legs bent. I wanted to make her mine. I wanted to possess her if I survived the next few minutes. 90 miles per hour, and swooping back and forth across the dreaded double line and freaking the other drivers out. He was wrapping the rope around her neck. She hissed. The driver's going to kill you. Shut the fuck up, bitch. And he yanked the rope so tight around her neck, she screamed in real agony. Yet she reared up, her bare breasts now completely exposed. You're going to kill him, aren't you, baby? I lowered my chin and said, Irwin Rommel was my great-great-uncle. 95 miles per hour. The end of the tunnel was in sight. I was named after him. I don't give a shit. Slow the fuck down. White light spilled and stretched from the oncoming mouth of the tunnel, distant but ever closer as the blur of walls and ceiling and the road became an annihilating vortex. Faster now, 100 miles per hour. Engine screaming, the light stretching toward us like an exploding sun, and here we go, I told myself, my teeth grinding, my bladder ready to go nuclear. Hand me the death card. Well, here it comes. Oh my God! Erin screamed. But was that a fucking smile on her face? Motherfucker! The guy sobbed and blasted a bullet into the roof of the cab, then for the fourth time jammed the gun against the back of my skull. It's not a good idea to distract the driver, I growled, as we went screeching around a slow-ass Audi, missing a collision by millimeters. Plunging through the mouth of the tunnel and into the light, we were suddenly under blue skies and clouds and the big idiotic arch that screamed, Welcome to Jersey City. We hurtled at top speed toward an impenetrable wall of traffic. And the big guy screamed like a girl, and I swerved the cab hard to the right. Shriek of brakes. My shoulder and head collided with my window, then the roof, then the window again, as the cab flipped over like a toy struck by the force of a god's hammer, rolling again and again in an unholy crashing of metal and glass. And while we were still in mid-tumble, almost weightless, the oversized guy collided face to face with Erin, and with her sharp and white and savage teeth, she took the whole of his nose into her mouth and bit hard. Blood spurted. His arms flailed. She wouldn't let go even as we tumbled. Her jaws snapped together with an audible crack, and she tore flesh away, blood streaming from her clenched teeth. She'd bitten his nose off. We rolled a final time and landed, boom, on the tires with a bone-crunching thud. The big guy flailed and screamed, red streaming from the hole in the center of his face as he dumbly fumbled. But I swung around, grabbed him by his fat head of long black hair and yanked him over the partition and slammed his fleshy neck down against the knife-sharp peaks of the broken plexi. A gush of more blood. He gurgled and spasmed and tried to resist. But I lifted his head and with even greater force smashed his neck once more onto the blades of plexi. Translucent daggers jutted through his flesh. He issued a wet and watery sound and stopped moving. Breathless, my arms rife with electric and terrifying energy, Erin spat out the bastard's nose and gulped air. Chest heaving, she looked at me. I looked back. Distant sirens already approached. She'd cut her forehead. Jesus Christ, I gasped, and realized I'd pissed my goddamn pants. The sirens drew closer. I forced my aching body to move, tumbled out of the cab. I'd fucked something up in my left arm, but I hobbled to her side, snatched open the passenger door, and leaned in, wrapped my arms around her lithe and tightly bound frame, and hauled her out. I screamed. It hurt like hell. But I managed to carry her a few yards away from the cab until we collapsed together, my body spilling atop hers. For a few seconds, we could only suck air, and I sort of held her. Then I rose to my knees above her. "Don't untie me," she gasped. We were a mess of cuts and bruises. Her teeth and chin and neck were glossy with the bastard's blood. I inspected her body for any further damage. My eyes wandered from her pleading eyes to her throat and down further. Her breasts, still fully exposed after the crazy ride, rose and fell under the brutal coils, her skin reddened by the constant rubbing of the ropes. Her bare belly, Jesus. After everything, all I wanted was to take her hardened nipples into my mouth. I wanted to put my fingers deep inside and then tease her with my dick until she begged for more. I wanted to feel her bound body responding to my own. And then she whispered the words I wanted to hear. "Please," she whispered, "fuck me." My cock was a furnace of pain and desire. God, she was beautiful, tied so tight, the rope making a sculpture of her body. I put my hand on the back of her head and pulled her lips to mine. Her tongue like a freight train, a moan escaping her mouth into mine. Yeah, even after all that, the muscles kick in.